WCF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A historic strike by United Auto Workers kicked off at midnight against the Big Three at three different facilities in three different states. UAW President Sean Fain joined picketers outside Ford's assembly plant in Wayne, Michigan.
They could double our wages, and they could not raise the price of vehicles. They would still make billions of dollars.
GM CEO Mary Barra takes issue with that. She tells CBS Mornings,
"We need to be able to keep investing in new products, and right now we're at a peak because we're investing not only in next generation internal combustion engine vehicles, but also in brand new EVs."
President Biden plans to speak about stalled negotiations between the two sides later today. A Category 1 Hurricane Lee is expected to slam into New England or Canada over the weekend. Heads up from Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams.
There are over 3 million people now in watches and warnings. The winds will increase through the day today and tomorrow, gusting as high as 75 miles per hour from the Cape up towards coastal Maine.
The official death toll from catastrophic flooding in eastern Libya is now more than 11,000. 10,000 still unaccounted for. CBS's Holly Williams is at the foreign desk.
Some scientists say climate change may have been a contributing factor to the scale of this disaster because a warming Mediterranean Sea could have made the storm more powerful. The UN is warning that many children in Derna cannot access clean drinking water and are vulnerable to outbreaks of deadly disease.
Closing arguments are set to get underway in Texas in the impeachment trial of Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton. The GOP's impeachment manager, State Rep. Andrew Murr.
The state's top lawyer engaged in conduct designed to advance the economic interests and legal positions of a friend and donor to the detriment of innocent Texans.
Overseas, one country is dealing with a problem we'd all like to have.
Ireland's government is set to announce a massive surplus in next month's annual budget, but it can't decide what to do with the $10 billion that's mostly tax revenue from multinational companies. There's a major housing crisis in Ireland, and education, hospitals and transport all need improving. Or the government could pay off some of the billions borrowed in a bailout after the global crash 15 years ago. Some experts warn the tax boon may not last, and some of the money should be set aside for future spending. Elaine Cobb, CBS News.
Regulators in Ireland have just fined TikTok $368 million for failing to protect children's privacy. An investigation found the sign-up process for teenagers made their accounts public by default. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Staples has
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced the filing of a lawsuit seeking an order declaring that the state Senate has no power to reject Wisconsin Election Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. Attorney General Call referred to the Senate vote to fire Wolf as a stunt and a baseless attack on democracy, saying the state Senate blatantly disregarded state law by holding the vote. The lawsuit was filed in Dane County Circuit Court. The Wisconsin State Assembly passed legislation yesterday to overhaul the system for drawing legislative boundaries in the state. Republicans have embraced the nonpartisan redistricting process, similar to the process used in the state of Iowa. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is pushing the legislation amid the threat of impeaching newly elected Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz for comments she made regarding the state's electoral map while she campaigned. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how everybody's joking now.
The vet.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the thing for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Miles High. Pretty psychedelic music for you as we get ready for a weekend. Friday morning, 8.5 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. 58 degrees in La Crosse, also 58 degrees up in Hayward. And welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. If you got an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in 715-388-7155. And I want to ask you if you've seen any of the recent interviews featuring the former president of the United States. He's been making the rounds, most recently with an interview with Megyn Kelly that was released yesterday. And it seems like wherever he goes, whenever he's talking to someone doing these interviews, he is making one admission after another that could be used in court against him. I don't know what the strategy is, if there is a strategy, but a lot of people saying that he is confessing with each of these interviews. Good confession. Legal experts react to Trump admissions in Megyn Kelly interview. That's the headline from the Raw story piece posted by David McAfee, posted late yesterday. It says here that Donald Trump made some startling admissions in an interview with Megyn Kelly that was released on Thursday, according to legal experts. Trump is seen in the interview ranting about Special Counsel Jack Smith and his classified documents prosecution, repeating claims that he's allowed to have these documents, whether they are classified or not classified. He also repeated his assertion that he didn't need a ritual to declassify documents, though there is reportedly audio of him admitting the opposite in Smith's possession. While this isn't the first time Trump has said he's allowed to have all the classified documents, it is likely to be added to the list of things used against him in court, experts say. Quote, so nice when Trump does prosecutors work for them, said former prosecutor Joyce Vance on Thursday. Good confession, end quote. Bradley Moss, an attorney who specializes in litigating national security matters, also quoted the part of Trump's interview in which he said, quote, I'm allowed to take these documents, classified or unclassified, end quote. Credit to Kelly for letting him confess to the crimes in the indictment. She'll see this played at the trial by the government, Moss said. Conservative lawyer and anti-Trump activist George Conway also joined in on the fun, saying, quote, interviewers should be required to read him his rights. Conway included an image with the Miranda rights text written plainly. Law professor Lee Kovarsky added, quote, when people asked me why the Manhattan DA wanted to defer filing details of the prosecution's theory, this is why, he wrote. My man is going to go on TV and get his confession on, end quote. So that's what's going on with the former president. Confession is good for the soul. And that's what I heard this morning on the Morning Joe panel. So it looks like wherever he goes, he's going to be confessing and helping out the prosecutors. And I've heard that he's going to be on Meet the Press on Sunday with the new host. Should be interesting. So as we move into the weekend, let's get to something a little lighter than all the politics, but maybe just as important. I have a headline here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that says, with 16 games left in the season, here are 16 observations on the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers have set themselves up perfectly as the season winds to an end. I do believe the last day of the regular season is 2 weeks from this Sunday. So we're just a couple of weeks away from the end of the regular season. Brewers poised to head into the postseason. They are 4.5 games ahead of the Cubs as they start play today. I'll give you a little bit of this piece before we go to our next break. It says Thursday, as many have been in the last month, was a good day for the Milwaukee Brewers. Behind the return of Adrian Hauser from the injured list, timely hitting against Miami Marlins rookie phenom Eury Pérez, and a dominant bullpen showing the Brewers picked up a 4-2 win to seize the four-game series. And not only did the Brewers win, but losses by the Reds and the Giants, as well as the Marlins, moved Milwaukee one step closer to a fifth playoff berth in 6 seasons. Rather than delivering 3 takeaways from the win, which is the standard fare in terms of post-game analysis around these parts, here are 16 thoughts and observations on the Brewers with 16 games remaining in the regular season. The first one is what I just mentioned. The Brewers have put themselves in an excellent position. Before we delve into the nitty-gritty, let's go over the big picture first. It certainly looks favorable for the Brewers. With Thursday's win, the Brewers lead the Chicago Cubs by 4.5 games in the National League Central and have a magic number to clinch the division of 12. Their magic number to reach the postseason is 9. It's a near certainty that the Brewers are playing postseason ball. They enter the weekend series with the Washington Nationals with playoff odds of 99.9%, according to FanGraphs. So while you may not want to pop the champagne just yet, you're probably safe to stock up on it. The second thing is the Brewers' aces are pitching like, well, aces. It's always possible to predict what could happen over a short baseball playoff series, but the Brewers have arguably the best playoff starting rotation, and it's not just in name only. They're pitching like they are. In the second half, Brandon Woodruff's 2.22 ERA is the second best of any starter in the National League. Freddie Peralta, with a 2.51, is fifth. Corbin Burns, whose ERA is 2.76, is seventh. The trio has taken turns delivering dominant outings, flashing on the regular why they are regarded as the top-tier starters in Major League Baseball. The third thing is the rotation lines up well the rest of the regular season. Milwaukee should be able to line up its rotation for the playoffs, too. The final game of the regular season is October 1st. The division series begins 2 days later. The Brewers not only hope to have the division wrapped up before the Cubs come to town for the final three games of the season, but the rotation, as it currently is lined up, could fall into place in a way that automatically has the top three starters rested. The Brewers could bring in a sixth starter during the next turn through the rotation. They optioned Colin Ray to Class AAA Thursday, so it would be someone else not currently on the roster or a bullpen day. But if they don't, then it shapes up that Burns would pitch on Wednesday in St. Louis, and then Woodruff, and then Peralta. That would give each starter a full complement of 5 days rest before taking the ball in the postseason. Another thing is Adrian Hauser looked good in his return, and that's no small detail. The Brewers' four playoff starters, assuming health, are obvious. With Miley tacked onto the back of the three aces, that leaves Adrian Hauser in a swingman role on the playoff roster. His ability to go multiple innings or attack parts of the opposing lineups heavy on right-handed hitters because of his sinker could prove valuable. Because of that, his five solid innings and his return from the injured list on Thursday served as a positive sign. So those are the first four items that are listed here in this Journal Sentinel story by Kurt Hogg of the 16 observations on the Brewers. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Score was tied in the bottom of the eighth when the pitcher died, and they laid his spikes on the pitcher's mound, and his uniform was torn, and his number was left on the ground. Then the night turned cold, colder than the moon. The stars were white as bones. The stadium was old, older than the screams, older than the team.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms are likely. We'll see a high near 71. For tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 51. Mostly sunny for Saturday with a high of 73. Sunshine and 70 for Sunday. For Monday, sunny with a high of 76. Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs to the low 80s.
It's 64 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain. Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail? A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell? Did they get you to trail? The same old ground.
sounds great on a Friday morning, huh? 9:25, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And we've got 58 degrees in Hayward right now. It is 60 degrees in Amory. The next thing I want to get to here is about the former president, who's now being called malignant by his former attorney. That's the headline here from HuffPost, Huffington Post. It's at HuffPost.com. It says, malignant Trump torched by his former attorney, who is predicted to flip. The former president's one-time attorney explained why she simply cannot support him for elected office again. This piece posted this morning at HuffPost by Lee Moran says former Donald Trump attorney Jenna Ellis appears to have come full circle with her contempt for the ex-president. Maybe. Back in 2016, Ellis ripped Trump as an idiot and a bully who cannot handle criticism before suddenly changing her tune and backing him in that year's election. She later became his legal representative as he sought to overturn the 2020 election following his loss to Joe Biden. Now, Ellis is one of 18 defendants charged alongside Trump in the sprawling Georgia racketeering case. And she's not happy that Trump isn't funding her defense or those of her co-defendants. Ellis's griping prompted former Assistant Attorney General for New York, Tristan Snell, to suggest last month that she could flip on Trump in the Georgia case. And this is a tweet or an X message, I should say, from Tristan Snell. Breaking: Trump dumps Jenna Ellis, won't pay any of her legal fees because she's been supportive of DeSantis. Watch Ellis carefully now. When Trump cuts someone off, it's the tipping point that results in the person flipping on Trump. Yesterday, Ellis said on her radio show that she had great love and respect for Trump on a personal level, but said she simply can't support him for elected office again, citing his malignant, narcissistic tendency to simply say that he's never done anything wrong. Ha! Interesting. Everybody's flipping on that guy. You've got 9:28 and a half right now. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. United Auto Workers are striking against the Big Three at three locations in three different states.
We put everything back in place and we just walked out.
They form picket lines at midnight. President Biden is expected to speak about the stalled negotiations sometime today. Category 1 Hurricane Lee is expected to make landfall in Maine or Canada over the weekend. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams.
Today is the last day to prepare. Conditions go downhill tonight, and tomorrow Lee will be battering parts of New England.
Winds expected to gust as high as 75 miles an hour from the Cape right on up to coastal Maine. Closing arguments are about to begin in Texas. Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton's impeachment trial. His lawyer, Tony Busby, claims lack of evidence proves his client is not guilty of corruption or bribery.
This impeachment was the perfect marriage of a group of representatives led by a drunken speaker seeking political vengeance.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers expressed his displeasure with what he calls Republicans' ongoing attempt to illegally fire Chief Elections Administrator Megan Wolf. In a press release, Governor Evers stated Wisconsin Republicans' attempt to illegally fire Wisconsin's elections administrator without cause today shows they are continuing to escalate efforts to sow distrust and disinformation about our elections, denigrate our clerks, poll workers, and elections administrators, and undermine basic tenets of our democracy, including the peaceful transfer of power. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will resume abortion care services on Monday in Milwaukee and Madison. Abortion services have been suspended in Wisconsin since last year's U.S. Supreme Court Dobbs decision, which overturned the 1973 ruling in Roe v. Wade. Planned Parenthood's decision is based on a Dane County judge's ruling in July that Wisconsin's 1849 law does not cover voluntary abortions. Planned Parenthood began taking appointments again today. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip with the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app, The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
We can't play this game anymore, but can we still be friends? Things just can't go on like before, but can we still be friends? We had something to learn. Now
always what they seem. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:35 right now. We've got 66 degrees in La Crosse and 56 degrees in Richland Center. And the next thing I want to get to is give you an update on the strike going on. And you might say, well, which strike? There's so many these days. I'm talking about the UAW strike, the United Auto Workers. Last night at midnight, called a strike for the big three automakers, Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis. And what they are saying, the UAW, is that they're going to strike all three of the big three at once. I have a story here from USA Today by Jamie LaRue, posted just an hour ago, Dateline Detroit. Says the United Auto Workers launched a historic strike late Thursday by targeting all three Detroit automakers at once after contract negotiations failed to land a new deal. UAW members at three assembly plants in Michigan, Ohio, and Missouri went on strike after their labor contracts expired at 11:59 p.m., The strike, which the union calls the stand-up strike, targets specific plants of Ford Motor Company, General Motors, and Stellantis, which, by the way, makes Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Fiat brands. Union leaders have said they will select new target plants to take out on strike in various waves if negotiations continue to fail to land new agreements with the auto companies. The strategy is designed to keep the automakers off guard and leverage the union's position to secure a better contract than the offers the Detroit automakers have made so far. The first three facilities targeted are the Ford Michigan Assembly Plant. It says final assembly and paint only in Wayne, Michigan. Stellantis Toledo Assembly Complex in Ohio, and General Motors Wentzville Assembly in Missouri. And here's a quote from the president of the UAW. He said, "This strategy will keep the companies guessing. It will give our national negotiators maximum leverage and flexibility in bargaining. And if we need to go all out, we will. Everything is on the table," UAW President Sean Fain said in a late-night live stream to members on Facebook Live. "No matter what, all of us need to keep organizing, rallies, protests, red shirt days," Fain said during the broadcast. "We must show the companies you are ready to join and stand up and fight on a moment's notice." His comments came near the end of a day of last-minute bargaining across the Detroit automakers. The UAW has been negotiating with all three car makers separately, yet simultaneously since late summer. Shortly before midnight, GM sent out a statement saying the union informed the automaker it was on strike at Wentzville Assembly as of 11:59 p.m. Quote, this is a quote from General Motors. In a statement, they said, "We are disappointed by the UAW leadership's actions. Despite the unprecedented economic package GM put on the table, including historic wage increases and manufacturing commitments, we will continue to bargain in good faith with the union to reach an agreement as quickly as possible for the benefit of our team members, customers, suppliers, and communities across the U.S. In the meantime, our priority is the safety of our workforce." Similarly, Stellantis sent a statement that read, quote, "We are extremely disappointed by the UAW leadership's refusal to engage in a responsible manner to reach a fair agreement in the best interest of our employees, their families, and our customers. We immediately put the company in contingency mode and will take all the appropriate structural decisions to protect our North American operations and the company." And one thing we should mention here is that it does seem like the strikers, the UAW, is asking for a lot, right? They started off at a 43% pay raise and a 4-day work week with pay for 5 days. But the thing to consider is the fact that these companies are making huge profits right now, all-time record profits. And the other thing to consider is the fact that their CEOs have made, at least last year, made between $20 and $30 million each, right? The CEO of the company took home, I believe, with Ford, it was like $21 million. And with one of the others, either GM or Stellantis, it was in the mid-20s. I think that was Stellantis, like 25.9. And then, what's her name, Mary Barra at GM, she took home like $29 million last year. If she's taken home that much money, there's obviously some money there to dish out to some of the workers, give them better wages, better working conditions. And I'll get to a little bit more from this piece. It says Stellantis makes its popular Jeep Wrangler, Wrangler 4XE, and Jeep Gladiator pickups at the Toledo complex. At Michigan Assembly, formerly called Michigan Truck Plant, Ford builds the Ranger midsize pickup and the Bronco SUV. Wentzville Assembly in Missouri is where GM builds the Chevrolet Colorado and the GMC Canyon midsize pickups and the Chevrolet Express and GMC Savannah vans. And here's a quote from labor expert. It says, at this point, the three assembly plants that will walk out are a dramatic shot across the bow. That's according to labor expert Harley Shaken, professor emeritus at the University of California, Berkeley. And Mr. Shaken went on to say, the closure creates economic pain without a wider paralysis throughout the company. It is meant to spur negotiations rather than paralyze the company. And I think most people would agree that is a smart thing. I mean, even if you're striking against the company, you don't want the company to fail or have to close its doors. But by doing these smaller precision strikes, gives the company to keep moving forward and keeps the negotiations and the negotiators at the table. It says here, if the tactic doesn't work to get a better offer, Shaken said other more strategic plants may be struck that could increase the pressure on the automakers by crippling facilities that make engines, transmissions, and other vital components. A GM stamping plant, the Chevrolet Metal Center in Flint, Michigan, and a GM Delphi electronics plant in Flint went out on a 54-day strike in 1998, paralyzing virtually the entire corporation, Shaken said. That could lead to a lockout at other facilities that aren't struck, but may not be able to operate with certain components, raising the specter that workers at those plants would suffer financial losses. Alternatively, the union could revert to shutting all plants at a single automaker, Shaken said. What puts us in uncharted waters is a number of sharply different paths open to the union to press its demands. We also have to be aware, however, that the UAW isn't the only actor here. The automakers could begin choosing strategic options as well. That again from the expert Shaken. The UWA's initial strike targets are noteworthy because they affect an assembly plant at each of the three companies, said Merrick Masters, a labor expert and business professor at Wayne State University. This action is significant enough to convey the union's resolve in escalating pressure to get a better deal than has been put on the table so far, Masters said. By not striking critical components plants, the UAW avoids painting the companies into the corner. And that's a good thing, right? I'll give you a little bit more of this before we head to our next break. It says that Ford's bargaining went late into the night last night, shortly after Fain's 10 p.m. address. Ford put out an update to its final day of bargaining with the union. It says, quote, at 8 p.m. this evening at Solidarity House in Detroit, the United Auto Workers presented its first substantive counterproposal to Ford a few hours from the expiration of the current four-year collective bargaining agreement. On the key economic issues that matter most to our UAW-represented employees, Ford has submitted four proposals to the UAW since August 29th. That was mentioned by Ford in a statement. Ford said its last offer was historically generous, with large wage increases, cost of living adjustments, more paid time off, additional retirement contributions, and more. Now, another factor that hasn't been mentioned in this story and isn't mentioned often is the president, Joe Biden, who has had some pretty good success bringing unions together with corporations and avoiding strikes, right? Remember the big railway strike, which was supposed to happen about a year ago or so? And that was avoided, as well as some other strikes that have been avoided by help from the administration. Will Joe Biden and the administration step in on this one? Yeah, I think it's a possibility. It'll be interesting to see what happens. We've got 9:46 and a half right now. Going to take a break. It's a short one, so stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, she climbs the flowery mountains or the hills and by the shore. She's mighty tall and handsome, she's known quite well by all. She's a regular combination on the Wabash Cannonball. Listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar, as she glides along the woodland or the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engine, hear those lonesome hobos call. Traveling through the jungle on the Wabash Cannonball. Well, she came down from Birmingham one cold December day. As she pulled into the station, you could hear all the people say, she's from Tennessee.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms are likely. We'll see a high near 71. For tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 51. Mostly sunny for Saturday with a high of 73. Sunshine and 70 for Sunday. For Monday, sunny with a high of 76. Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs to the low 80s.
It's 64 at our studios.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style, I'm gonna drive everybody wild, 'cause I'll have the only one there is around. So the very next day when I punched in with my big lunchbox with help from my friend, I left that day with a lunchbox full of gear. I've never considered myself a thief, but GM wouldn't miss just one little piece, especially if I strung it out over several years. The first day I got me a fuel pump, and the next day I got me an engine and a trunk, then I got me a transmission and all the chrome. The little things I could get in my big lunchbox, like nuts and bolts and all four shocks, but the big stuff we snuck out my buddy's mobile home. Now up to now my plan went all right till we tried to put it all together one night, and that's when we noticed that something was definitely wrong. The transmission was a 53 and the motor turned out to be a 73, and when we tried to put in the bolts all the holes were gone. So we drilled it out so that it would fit, and with a little bit of help from an adapter kit, we had that engine running just like a song. Now the headlights, there was another sight. We had two on the left and one on the right, but when we pulled out the switch, all three of them come on. The back end looked kind of funny too, but we put it together, and when we got through, well, that's when we noticed that we only had one tail fin. About that time, my wife walked out, and I could see in her eyes that she had her doubts, but she opened the door and said, "Honey, take me for a spin." So we drove uptown just to get the tags, and I headed to ride on down Main Drag. I could hear everybody laughing for blocks around. But up there at the courthouse, they didn't laugh, 'cause to type it up, it took the whole staff. And when they got through, the title weighed 60 pounds. I got it one piece at a time, and it didn't cost me a dime. You'll know it's me when I come through your town. I'm gonna ride around in style, I'm gonna drive everybody wild, 'cause I'll have the only one there is around. Yeah, Red Rider, this is the Cottonmouth in the Psycho Billy Cadillac, come on. Paul. This is the Cottonmouth, and Negatory on the cost of this machine there, Red Rider.
Johnny Cash. Right, putting together a Cadillac one piece at a time. Working on the assembly line, putting together the Cadillacs. You can tell that song came out in the mid-70s with those references to getting on the CB radio, good buddy. And we've got 9:54 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And we've got, let's see here, it says 64 degrees in Eau Claire right now, 59 degrees in Amory. And for this final segment, what I want to do is give you an update on Jimmy Carter and his wife, Rosalynn Carter. And if you weren't around during the 1970s, you may not realize that Jimmy Carter was way ahead of his time. He tried to inform us Americans about the environment back then in the 1970s, tried to let us know that global warming, climate change are possible, or he tried to tell us then that those things would be possible if we didn't change our attitudes about energy and carbon pollution. Well, here's an update on the former president. It says here in USA Today that Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter are coming to an end, but together and in love, according to their grandson. This piece was posted late yesterday. It says here that former President Jimmy Carter and former First Lady Rosalynn Carter's grandson said his grandparents remain together and in love, even as they face health challenges. Quote, "They're coming to an end, as we know," Jason Carter, chairman of the Carter Center's Board of Trustees, and an attorney told USA Today on Thursday. The Carter Center, the longtime charity created by the former first couple, announced earlier this year that the former president was entering hospice care. In May, the Carter family revealed the former first lady was diagnosed with dementia. Quote, he's been in hospice now for several months, but they are happy. They are together. They are at home. They're in love. And I don't think anyone gets more than that. I mean, it's a perfect situation for this time in their lives. That's the grandson, Jason Carter, talking. And he added that despite his grandmother's diagnosis, this time marks, quote, a very joyful moment for her in a lot of ways, end quote. Rosalind Carter turned 96 last month. They're both doing as well as can be expected, Jason Carter said. He added that his grandfather, whose 99th birthday falls on October 1st, faces, quote, really significant physical challenges, but he does spend time watching baseball games and seeing family almost every day. The former president and President Joe Biden also still communicate today on a relatively regular basis, Jason Carter said, and the president has written to Jimmy Carter just to let him know that he's continuing to think about my grandfather and pray for him. Asked why he believes Jimmy Carter and the president remain close, Jason Carter explained that of his grandfather's nearly 99 years, he really only spent 8 in big-time elected office, including his term as president and his term as the governor of Georgia. Quote, he has lived in Plains, Georgia, in the same house that he built in the 1950s, and their ability to stay grounded in who they are despite all of the things they've done in their life is remarkable. And I think, frankly, Biden has that same kind of connection to who he was in simpler times, more humble times, despite having spent his entire life in Washington. So we wish the best to the Carter family as we wrap up this program. 9:58, hope you have a good day today. And do something nice for someone today. I'll see you back here on Monday morning at 8 o'clock.
This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong.
Hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.